Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the O'Leary Partners Observations Podcast, where we provide unique insights from influential Floridian professionals, UBS thought leaders, and other distinguished voices within our UBS O'Leary Partners Network. Today's episode is titled Beyond the Balance Sheet: Women, Wealth, and the Power of Confidence. I'm your host, Gabrielle O'Leary, a financial advisor for the O'Leary Partners at UBS Private Wealth Management. I'm located in Miami, Florida, and I can be reached at 305-536-9241 or gabrielle.o'leary@ubs.com. Our special guest here today is Carrie Schuffman, Executive Director and Head of Women's Wealth at UBS. Before I bring Carrie into the conversation, I want to take a brief moment to explain why this topic feels so important right now. Because I think one of the most interesting patterns I see in my work is that the more successful someone becomes, the fewer decisions feel straightforward. And what I mean by that is that the stakes get higher, the consequences are more visible, and at a certain point, choices stop feeling like drafts and start feeling like commitments. And that's when confidence begins to matter just as much as competence. And at the O'Leary Partners, we work with business owners, founders, and senior executives at moments where wealth, leadership, family, and legacy start to overlap and decisions stop feeling purely financial. And as we head into International Women's Day, essentially right around the corner, this felt like the right moment to have much more of an honest conversation about confidence, complexity, and decision-making. And I gotta say that Carrie's work has been instrumental in shaping how UBS supports women as complexity increases, not just in portfolios, but in leadership, decision-making, and long-term confidence. Carrie, I'm so glad you're here because this is where the conversation really begins.
Absolutely. And I'm so happy to be here. Thanks so much, Gabrielle.
Oh, you're most welcome. One of the things I hear most often from highly accomplished women, and I mean women who've built businesses, right? They've led teams or they've achieved incredible professional success, is that no one ever taught them how to feel confident when making big financial decisions, even when they're more capable. And research consistently shows that capability isn't the constraint, but confidence is. And we all know that women control or influence a majority of household wealth, often at moments of transition, which makes the emotional as well as the strategic sides of decision-making impossible to separate. And that's really why UBS's Own Your Worth research resonates so deeply with many women who I speak to. So let's unpack that. Carrie, what from UBS's Own Your Worth research stood out most to you about how women are navigating wealth today, especially as financial and life decisions become more complex?
Absolutely. And again, so great to be here with you, Gabrielle, for this conversation ahead of International Women's Day on March 8th and Women's History Month throughout the whole month of March. And really, to answer your question, women are controlling more wealth than ever before, which is quite exciting. Women are earning their own money at record rates now in 2026, and that trend has continued over the years. Women are starting companies at record rates, investing at higher rates than before. And also with trends like the Great Wealth Transfer that's currently underway, women are also inheriting at record rates as demographics change. And so certainly the opportunity is tremendous for women to really seize their financial power and leverage their wealth to achieve their goals, to pursue their passions, to give back to their communities, support their families, to rise in their careers, you know, whatever is of importance and interest to each individual woman and investor in person. But at the same time, from our UBS Own Your Worth research, and that is the extensive body of proprietary research we've been doing now at UBS for over a decade, we continue to find in our research where we've spoken to thousands and thousands of women and men from all different backgrounds and financial situations, when it comes to financial engagement, and Gabrielle, you just said this yourself, many women tell us that they aren't as involved in making those important financial decisions, particularly around investing in long-term decisions, as they'd like to be, whether because they don't feel confident in making those investment decisions, they aren't sure where to start, they've never received that financial education, it's never been talked about because money can be still such a taboo topic to talk about. Oftentimes within the context of heterosexual couples, women tell us that they might defer those decisions to a partner or spouse for a variety of reasons. And ultimately, and this is part of that, but really for all women, so many women tell us, regardless of whether married, single, divorced, widowed, millennial, Gen X, boomer, that they just don't have time, right? We juggle so much as women, and adding the financial decisions to our plate, often women tell us, and our research shows this, it's just not another thing that can be taken on. But this lack of engagement really does potentially have long-term implications in terms of potentially preventing women from really achieving the full potential of what their wealth can do for them and unlocking that potential, whether that's helping to navigate big life decisions or life events, preparing for major decisions like buying a home or making a career pivot, starting a family, starting a business, retirement, unexpected healthcare costs, or supporting aging loved ones. All of these big decisions that we make as women, that we make as human beings, women and men, there is a financial component. There's a financial component to every decision we make each and every day. So really, I think, Gabrielle, to answer your question, what continues to stand out to me from the Own Your Worth research is both the tremendous opportunity around women and their wealth, but also the critical importance of trying to bring more women to the financial table in light of these major trends, and then ultimately making sure that women who are at the financial table have the right support.
That's really powerful, Carrie, especially your comments about time. And what strikes me is how often the tension isn't about knowledge. It's about ownership. And with ownership, that comes with time set aside to focus on these financial decisions. And we know with that backdrop, right, the women already know how to lead. They negotiate, they make strategic decisions. But why is it that the conversation shifts when you're running a business to now thinking about storing wealth, especially generational wealth, that the emotional weight changes? And I see this in our work where the same inflection point is happening with founders and executives, that when decisions stop being tactical and they start becoming more permanent. So Carrie, why was it important from the get-go for UBS to build a dedicated women's wealth platform around all those survey findings?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned before, and this was really, I think, foundational to the creation of our Women's Wealth platform at UBS, Women Control and our On Track to Control Record Wealth. So that's sort of one of the catalysts. But then on the other side, there are certain demographic trends that do tend to impact women differently on average than our male counterparts. And in fact, 8 in 10 women in the U.S. will end up solely responsible for financial decision making because of factors like longer life expectancies for women. The divorce rate in the U.S. hovers just below 50%, and rates of marriage are also decreasing. You take these two opposing catalysts, right? Women controlling more wealth than ever before, and often at some point being the sole decision maker around that wealth. It really became clear through our research that we needed to do more to support women to be financially engaged, and that there was this problem we needed to solve in terms of answering the question of, are we ready? Right? And when I say, are we ready? I certainly mean, are we as individuals, you and me, Gabrielle, as women, are we ready to truly step into our financial power? Do we have the tools at our disposal? Do we have the advice that we need? Do we have the foundation that we need to make those decisions for ourselves, our futures? But also, are we ready being UBS, right? Are we, as the world's leading truly global wealth management firm, are we ready to ensure that we are best positioned to serve our female clients and their families? And so that's really what led to the creation of Women's Wealth at UBS, which is a really unique platform that we have. It's an entire team dedicated to supporting women as they navigate their financial lives and helping women achieve greater financial well-being. And we do that not only through that proprietary research, the Own Your Worth recent research I mentioned before, but we go many steps further than that to actually act on what does the research say? What are the findings? How do we spread that message? And then how do we actually provide more financial engagement, education? How do we bring women together through events, through seminars, through discussions like this podcast we're doing today together, Gabrielle? And then also, how do we help our financial advisors just like you in what you do each and every day that is so critical in serving your female clients and their families? So that's really how our team came to be and why. And it's been almost a decade that we've been doing this.
That's phenomenal. And I love what you said about that "are we ready" distinction, because that really matters. Mm-hmm. It frames wealth not just in numbers, but the responsibility and exactly how our clients experience it. And I think that also that sense of ownership deepens, the decisions themselves start to change. And as success builds, decisions don't just get bigger, but we're also finding that they become harder to reverse. It's no longer about what's possible. The discussion then pivots to what's prudent or what's aligned or what can't you afford to get wrong. And I think that's especially true as I start to reflect about our business owners and senior leaders, clients, and everything that they're balancing. Because as you mentioned before, it's not just professional growth, it's family priorities and long-term planning all at once. It's so all-encompassing. So Carrie, as women advance in their careers, build businesses, or inherit wealth, what do you think is changing the most, not just financially, but perhaps more emotionally or strategically?
That's a great question. And I think, look, certainly every investor, men, women, each of us is unique. We all have different financial goals, emotional and strategic considerations that we incorporate into our lives, into our plans for the future. But as with everything in life, you want to protect what you're building, right? You want to protect what you own. You want to protect your future, your legacy, the people that you care about most. And I think that the more that you earn, the more that you inherit, the more that you build your family, your life, your business, whatever that looks like for you, more complex considerations do become something that is that are really critical to address as part of that planning process for the short and long term. So you mentioned sort of building careers, building businesses, and inheriting wealth. So I'll answer all three sort of slightly differently, but I think the resounding concept of the importance of planning is going to be the same across all three. But for example, from a career perspective, you know, if you are rising in your career, if you're a senior executive, you may be navigating complexities around deferred compensation, restricted stock, concentrated stock positions, right? Those are all considerations that a financial advisor can help you think through. You also might be facing, you know, a big decision around, is that what you want to do for the rest of your career? Do you want to maybe join a board? Do you want to maybe, you know, pivot? Do you want to give back, you know, maybe work in the nonprofit space? There's all these different considerations when we work with executives that they're thinking about, certainly from a financial perspective, but also a strategic and emotional perspective as well. For business owners, certainly many business owners, and we work with business owners at every stage at UBS around the country and around the world, early, mid, late stage through exit planning, post-sale. But many business owners tell us that they have a significant portion of their own wealth tied up in their business, right? That might pose liquidity concerns. It might pose cash flow considerations that they need help with. And then on the exit planning side, we also often hear that that comes with a lot of emotions and difficult decisions, right? What does the exit look like? You know, not just the type of exit, but what does life after the exit look like? How will you find purpose? How will you spend your time? How will the proceeds impact your life, your wealth, your family, your legacy? And those certainly are financial considerations first and foremost, but they are also tremendously emotional and strategic decisions as well. And then lastly, on the inheritance side, we actually just did extensive research last year. Our latest Own Your Worth report for 2025 was actually all about the great wealth transfer and its impact on women, titled Heir Dynamics. And we found that women who had inherited wealth from their parents often felt unprepared to inherit that wealth because of things like lack of communication with loved ones before they passed away, lack of open dialogue, and lack of proper planning, knowing whether there was a wealth transfer plan in place before that wealth transfer event. And that lack of preparedness actually led to, and women cited, the vast majority of women cited that there were both emotional and strategic implications from that, whether it was feelings of guilt, about honoring parents' legacies, conflict with other siblings or heirs, financial surprises, unforeseen tax burdens, things like that. So again, planning is certainly not just for the financial, but it's also for those emotional considerations to help alleviate stress and uncertainty, to provide more clarity at every step of the way. But certainly decisions become harder, and there can be much larger ripple effect implications the bigger the decision is in every aspect of our lives.
That's incredibly well said. And I think your framing of planning as a common denominator across those three buckets of advancing in your career, building a business, or inheriting wealth is so, so powerful. And I also want to comment that the idea that progress doesn't just expand choices, it also sharpens the trade-offs. Because from this side of the table, what I see with clients at this stage is that here is where the conversation or questions start to shift from, can I do this directly, to what deserves my attention now? And then I think that that framing, which is essentially prioritization over possibility is often where people benefit the most from perspective, not pressure. So on that note, Carrie, do you think that there are specific moments where women tend to pause or seek guidance more? For example, around liquidity events, inheritance, or perhaps even leadership transitions?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think, and the research bears out, that specific major life events, and when I say life events, I would also include, I don't just mean life events in terms of personal life, but professional life events, you know, selling a business, starting a business, making a career pivot, certainly tend to be when most investors, women and men, tend to say, okay, I really need additional support, additional guidance. How will this affect my long-term goals? How does this affect my short-term financial planning considerations? So whether that's entering into a marriage, having children, retiring, you know, even a loved one passing away, I mentioned before, starting or selling a business, making those career decisions, all of those have immediate and long-term financial implications that impact the current financial plan if there is one in place. And so understanding how the decision will impact your short and long-term financial horizon is critical, and critical to helping you make the most informed decision and understanding all of the parameters, right? The if and then. If I do this, then what? What are the pros? What are the cons? What are the risks? What are the rewards or the benefits? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in the short term? Will it help you achieve your goals in the long term? Are there certain sacrifices or compromises that you might have to make? So yes, absolutely. I think any of those major life events we see tend to be a way in which we can really bring more women to the financial table and engage more. But I would also argue, and I think the overarching message of Own Your Worth and the entire research is that it's so important to be engaged all along the way, not just when a specific life event happens. Because having that initial foundational financial plan in place, it's much easier to then adjust the plan based on the life event or the change rather than to kind of start from scratch, right? Because your advisor will understand who you are, what your goals are, how you think, what's most important to you, what are the things that keep you up at night, and then how that decision might impact all of that, both financially and again, strategically, emotionally, et cetera. And so I think certainly life events are a really important opportunity to re-engage and replan and revise the plan. But I think having the engagement well before those life events is what can actually set you up to be the most successful.
Yeah, I like what you said about that. Having the engagement set up well in advance before it comes urgent, I think is paramount. And really, just to piggyback off of your comments about making the most informed decision, what really stands out to me are those moments of how fragmented the advice landscape can become. Suddenly, there are attorneys, accountants, business partners, or even family voices that are all well-intentioned, don't get me wrong, but they're not always coordinated. And navigating that complexity is often less about urgency and more about clarity. And this is exactly where the role of a financial advisor starts to matter differently, right? When financial lives become more complex, people aren't looking for more information. We already get inundated with so much on a daily basis. What I find is that people are looking for judgment, perspective, and someone who can help them move forward when the answer isn't obvious. So Carrie, when financial lives become more complex and inevitably those stakes are higher, what does an effective advisory relationship look like for women? And what do you think women tend to value or look for more from a financial advisor relationship team?
Absolutely. And again, I think each investor is different. Each person that an advisor sits across the table from in conversation is going to look different. Male, female, working with an individual, working with a couple, working with a family. But there are certain trends, certain inferences that we can make based on the research, based on what we see the majority of women tell us about their experiences with our industry, with their advisor, that I think can help sort of answer this question that hopefully resonate with most people in some way, shape, or form. I will say our research shows, and industry research shows, that the two things that women in particular look for most from an advisor, financial advisor relationship, is communication and trust. It's really about building that rapport with your advisor where you trust him or her with helping you make these critical decisions for yourself, for your family, for your future in the short and long term. And that he or she is communicating with you, and the team, if they have a team, is communicating with you in a way that works for you, where you feel seen and heard and understood. that includes understanding, you know, you and your current situation, but also your personal history and background around money, especially if that impacts how you think about it now, right? Your current financial situation, your goals, both short and long term. Who are the people that matter most to you? What are the causes that matter most to you? What do you want your life to look like in the next 5 to 10 years? And how can their support and that financial plan help you get there? I think all of that is so important. Certainly feeling like you're able to ask questions openly, go at your own pace, get information and education on the things that you're interested in learning more about, but also focusing on the things that are important to you, right? You mentioned, Gabrielle, just now being inundated with information. You should be able to really schedule or run a meeting with your advisor in a way that works for you and talking about what you want to talk about most, right? It shouldn't be that the advisor is coming in saying, okay, these are the three things we're going to talk about today. Certainly, there might be three things that are important to cover: portfolio, certain decision that needs to be made, a consideration based on current market conditions. But it should also be about you and what's on your mind and what you want to talk about. So I think that's really important. And then more broadly, industry research for a long time, and our own Your Worth research has echoed this, shows that on average, women tend to, and again, every woman, every man, every investor is different, but women tend to focus more and be more inclined to have financial discussions that are goals-based, that focus on the long term. How do these decisions impact my goals, impact my plan, impact my ability to lead my life the way that I really envision leading it, versus a focus more on performance? And so I think that type of long-term planning relationship is also critical in terms of having that effective advisory relationship with an advisor.
All valid points and extremely well said. Also really glad what you said about communication and trust. I also believe that that is key. And really what stands out to me is that it isn't about having the perfect answer. It's about having the right partner when the answer isn't obvious. And that's exactly how we view advice at the O'Leary Partners. Our role isn't just to manage money, but it's to help clients feel grounded and confident when decisions are nuanced, they're emotional, or maybe they even carry real consequences beyond the numbers. And I think especially for founders and executives, having someone who understands the full picture or your complete balance sheet, assets, liabilities, thinking about your business, personal, the long term, that's what makes all the difference. And what's fascinating is how those decisions don't stop at the individual level. And what's even more interesting is that one of the most powerful things I witness is really how financial confidence changes how people show up, not just in their portfolios, but also in leadership and impact. Carrie, how do you think financial confidence translates into leadership, philanthropy, or a broader community impact?
Absolutely. I mean, I think confidence in every aspect of our lives helps us move forward in a productive way, right? You want to feel confident in the decisions that you're making, whether that's a specific career decision, a family decision, even the little decisions that help us run our lives every day. You want to be confident in those as well. And so certainly, I think financial confidence then does translate into being able to be a more effective leader, a more effective founder, be able to be more effective in giving back to your community, or whatever it might be. So our research actually shows, the Own Your Worth research shows, that the vast majority of women believe that money can be a tool to affect the change they wish to see in the world. And the vast majority of women also agree that being engaged in financial decisions can help them lead a more meaningful life. So this is not just my opinion, but this is actually what the data says, that financial confidence, financial engagement does translate into greater impact in all facets of life that are important to you. And so certainly, you know, having the confidence to achieve your goals allows you to make those decisions that are best for you and your future, your family, your career. Weighing, I mentioned before, you know, making informed decisions is so important, right? It's never always a very clear 100% exact answer. If I do this, then that. There are always risks and benefits, opportunities, and impacts, positive and negative, to every decision. But understanding them and making that informed decision and saying, I will confidently do X, even if Y is an outcome, rather than doing A, B, or C, that is what helps you kind of lead life more effectively, achieve your goals. And certainly, I think having that financial confidence, being financially engaged, helps you make those decisions with greater peace of mind. And that helps alleviate stress. And we all know the impact of stress on us physically, mentally, emotionally. certainly financially as well. So I think there are so many benefits to having that financial confidence, both in the short term and the long term, and then from a broader sort of community and legacy impact as well.
I think that's such an important point you just made about stress. And I also think that when people feel more grounded financially, they tend to be much more decisive and also engage more thoughtfully in the world around them. So, Carrie, let's bring us home here. I know we're sitting in February, but I don't think it's too late to refine any New Year's resolutions. So what do you think that there's one mindset shift or a focus that you'd encourage women to prioritize this year? What would that be?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's just about deciding, and we talked about this before, right? Time constraints are so real. We're all so incredibly busy. We're dividing and conquering. We're juggling. We're wearing more hats than we can fit on our head at any one moment. But I think in the same way that we do so many things to take care of ourselves, to take care of our loved ones, we prioritize getting our annual physical or exercise or nutrition or whatever it might be, prioritizing financial well-being as a part of your overall well-being is so important. So I think that mindset shift can be huge in and of itself. And then really just thinking about what is your current financial situation? Are there certain things that you've been avoiding or procrastinating? And this is for anyone, regardless of whether you would like to be more involved and really haven't been that involved, or whether you meet with your advisor regularly, have a great handle on your portfolio, have a really strong financial plan in place. There's probably always something that you might have been meaning to do or that maybe you want to revisit. And so just figuring out what are those one or two important things. Maybe it's a 30-minute situation, it's an hour, maybe it's a few hours. And committing to getting that done in the first, let's call it half of the year. That's not too ambitious. Have you been thinking about your spending, right? Is your budget stressing you out a bit? Looking at your cash flow, what's coming in versus what's going out? Where can you maybe make some, you know, fine tuning? Have you updated the important documents? Do you have the important documents that you need? God forbid something were to happen, a will or an estate plan in place, guardianship for minor children, a power of attorney or a healthcare proxy. Are your beneficiaries up to date, especially if there's been a recent life event? Did you recently switch jobs and your former 401k is just sort of like out there and you haven't really decided what to do with it? I hear that all the time. Take the time to figure out what you want to do with that. Are you noticing that your children are starting to notice or comment more on money and you want to have an interesting and important conversation or series of conversations to really think about raising financially responsible children and talking to your kids about money? What does that look like? Have you been meaning to have a conversation with your spouse or partner or with aging loved ones about their care plan or what it will look like when they're no longer here? Just pick one or two things and commit to doing them. And I think from there, again, when we talk about confidence, doing one thing, doing two things, you build up the confidence to tackle that third or fourth thing. And you don't have to boil the ocean. You don't have to do it all at once. But each step is a step of progress. And then you continue to build from there.
I love that perspective. Prioritizing your financial well-being, that truly is self-care. And I couldn't agree with you more. So, Carrie, thank you so much for such a thoughtful and grounded conversation. This is exactly the dialogue more people should be having as complexity grows. And to our listeners, if this conversation resonated, it's probably because you're navigating decisions where there isn't a clear right answer. And that's not a weakness. It's often a signal that the decision actually matters. And those are the moments where perspective and the right partnership make all the difference. So everyone, thank you so much for spending time with us today and take care now. Bye-bye.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.
This podcast was edited by Resonate Recordings.